New Thought Media Network. We are a global broadcast network of positive music, media, and entertainment. Inspiring humanity's evolution along the journey of enlightenment and creating a world of love, peace, empowerment, and prosperity for all. New Thought Media Network. Positively inspiring.
Welcome to Ministers Talking Sh**, a weekly program where Rev Briz and Rev Z and their guests chat about current affairs, world events, spiritual principles, and any old sh** they want to talk about. Based on the New Thought philosophy and ancient wisdoms, Ministers Talking Sh** shares a visionary perspective of the evolving spiral called spiritual living. Join us each week as we explore the emerging paradigm of life on planet Earth and beyond.
And hello again, dear ones. Dr. Robert with you over here.
Rev Z right here.
And this is Ministers Talking Shit. I lost my banner. You know what time it is, folks. It's 7 a.m. on the Mountain Time Zone. That means it's time on a Friday. That means it's time for, there it is, Ministers Talking Shit. Opportunity for Z and I to get together and chat about all the fun stuff that's happened in our lives. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Doing well, man. Just taking a little R&R today, or half a day anyway. And just looking forward to a great weekend and trying to figure out of all the news going on in the world, what's important and what's not.
No news. Didn't you know there's no news on the weekends? Nothing ever happened. There'll be a big news announcement about an hour from now after we shut down for the day, and then the news will shut down for the day as well. Let's say good morning to Linda. Good morning, Linda. Good to see you, dear one. I anticipate the sun is shining just as brightly where you are in the mountains as it is here in the city. Colorado is shaping up to have a real nice weekend, so we hope you're going to have a nice weekend wherever you are as well. Yeah, making sense of the news. There was a song about that at some point. Didn't somebody have a hit song about that at some point?
And if they did, we need to make one.
Yeah, it'd be almost as popular as war. If we wrote a song like that. Folks, we've been having a great discussion this morning already, Zia and I, and the sticky point and where I want to open up with, let's not go to the heavy stuff first. Let's start with the easy stuff. How would you like to, this is a hypothetical, folks, how would you like to apply for a senior executive position with a company that sells half a bicycle, is $1 billion in debt, and has no vision for the future? Peloton announced yesterday they're releasing their CEO. Two executive board members will be filling in that role at over 400 employees, unfortunately, will be probably found out this morning they don't have a job any longer. And I just keep getting stuck on that number, Z. How do you end up with $1 billion in debt? A billion. You know, who didn't stop these guys at 500 million? Like, what guy or girl, I'm sorry, maybe this banker is a woman, one person said, oh, you're $500 million, you're $500 million in debt? Sure, we'll give you some more money. How much do you want? It seems ridiculous to me.
As one might say, a phenomenon, right? I mean, $1 billion in debt, selling bicycles and exercise programs and treadmills. At some point, you have to realize the business model isn't working or the price structure isn't working, and you either have to restructure, drop your price, or you close down before you get to be $1 billion in debt. I don't even see how you can sell enough bikes and treadmills and programs in the next 50 years to get $1 billion.
Exactly.
I just don't see it. I mean.
Well, and okay. And here's part of it, right? Their bike is about 2,000. And again, I hesitate to call it a bike. It's only got one wheel.
Bike length.
About $2,000, and then they get you on the monthly video feed. They get you for the monthly subscription. Well, okay, knowing how people exercise, they buy the bike in December, they turn the video on in January, they cancel the video subscription in February, and the bike sits in the corner holding up dirty laundry until they sell it for $1,000 and lose half their money. But for those that do use it and that do find I don't get it.
Yeah.
I've been a CEO because you can drive a company into the ground and get fired and all you get is a golden parachute and take some time off, go to the islands for a while, come back and do it to the next company. Because the guy that did this, was it Netflix before that and he was somewhere else before that?
Well, you know, here's the challenge one of the challenges in this country when you start looking at higher level leadership, right? There's always been a big debate that these companies recycle these CEOs and CFOs, right? They just jump from one company to another, right? They're basing it on some past experience or past whatever, and it doesn't work, right? So you get this retread idea. It happened. I mean, one of the places to really see it, because it's a small window, is the NFL. In terms of head coaches that just get recycled between the team, they lost over here, we're going to hire them over here. Now, in some cases, it may be valid, but it's happening way too much. And you don't see it as much in corporate America because a lot more teams, if you will, than in the NFL. But you know, we keep saying we need younger leadership, we need new approaches, but we are not reaching out and allowing those individuals to take the reins who are more attuned potentially to current environment, current economic and consumer purchasing habits. $1 billion in debt selling bikes? Come on, it's a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the other benefit for this guy. By the way, his last name is McCarthy, the current CEO. He gets to stay on as an advisor until the end of the year. So we're sorry. We're going to have to let you go in like 8 or 9 months. Do you think you can keep doing your job really well between now and then? Do you think, like, come on, people?
No. He's there. He's there to show them where the bodies are buried. It's going to take him 8 months to show.
show
where the bodies are buried, so to speak. And then, boom, he's out. So now they'll have some idea what they got to clean up.
Yes. Speaking of where the bodies are buried, let's talk about Boeing for a minute.
Oh, my God.
This is a spooky story. Joshua Dean, age 45, died this week of unknown MRSA bacterial infections, I guess we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
His mother's quoted as saying they don't know what killed him. There's a doctor that says his lungs were filled with gummy substances, gummy fluids that looked like a mesh on his lung. The interesting part of all of this is he was a whistleblower against Boeing. And he's been raising, he was a key Boeing, an auditor at a key Boeing supplier, raising concerns about improperly drilled holes in the fuselage of the 737 MAX jets. Fell into a quick critical condition after being diagnosed with MRSA bacterial infection and died earlier this week at age 45. This is the second whistleblower in just 3 months that has died Boeing whistleblower that has died. Now, maybe this is a coincidence. The other gentleman was 65. Where'd my notes go?
One guy committed suicide too.
They keep saying an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. An apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. So that may be just the conspiracy theorists leaving the door open, or they really don't know for sure. And but two whistleblowers in 3 months, flat on the heels of some major problems at Boeing with the 737 and other aircraft. I don't know. We're going to have to keep an eye on this one. We can't call it a full-fledged. You can't call it murder if you don't have the proof. But I trust there's some really good detectives looking into this case.
Yeah, it's good that. I mean, we shift from Peloton to Boeing, right? But at some point, corporate oversight gets oversighted, right? and they don't keep tabs on this stuff. The money is coming in, the margins are good, and they are, their pockets or several people's pockets are getting stuffed, and they're like, it's just a little thing, or, you know, and obviously we know little things turn into big things. You know, you have a little baby when you bring them home, and then by the time they get to high school, they're big things. And now they require a lot more everything, right? And so that's what's happening with these companies. They start small, it appears, and then they get these massive problems. And now it's a lot more wheelie to deal with. And so, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of what they're doing at Boeing, but, you know, when a door flies off a plane in midair, God bless, nobody was sitting in that row. You know, an engine fall off the plane. I mean, they had an engine fall off the plane. Something's amiss. I don't know what it is, but something is amiss.
I'm having this kind of epiphany that over the last handful of years, there's been a thing emerging in the business world called B Corps. If you don't know about them, folks, that's not your fault. It's not like a lot of people are talking about them. But a B Corp is known as a benefit corporation. And the idea is that you don't just go out and say, hey, we're a B Corp. You got to go through a lot of steps to prove that your business model is actually benefiting society, is creating a benefit. That's where the B comes from, a benefit corp. So, and in benefit corporations, it's not like a nonprofit where you can't take the profits out and distribute them to shareholders, things of that nature. It's not like this can't benefit a specific person. Most companies are started to benefit the founder and pay the founder, you know, a handsome sum and let him buy some yachts or whatever and a nice house. And not even buy yachts, just buy a nice house and provide for our families. And the benefit corp idea is that the company also has to be able to demonstrate that it is creating benefit in society for humanity. Ways. And that it lives by various principles that would keep that company from needing to kill its whistleblowers, which would keep that company from ever having whistleblowers because there'd be nothing to blow the whistle about, that we keep that company from racking up $1 billion in debt to sell people a $30 subscription to a computer entertainment program they don't need. Are we entering, and I guess I'm answering my question. I think we have entered, but we're not yet aware that we've crossed that threshold.
Yeah.
Where B Corps are the future.
Well, and you know, speaking of business and future, I don't know if you heard that Walmart, just picking up on that B, had to recall 8 tons of ground beef because of possible E. coli.
Right.
Now, that's a lot of beef. And on top of that, you have there's concerns now about the swine flu crossing over. They said it crossed over to a couple of, to some beef. And so again, just staying in that line of business and oversight, right? It's effective everywhere, right? I mean, it's from Cargill Meat Solutions. About Cargill's in Minnesota. I actually almost went to work for them when I graduated college. and the amount of oversight that should be in place to prevent this should be enormous.
Right.
All right.
We got a lot of out of work people that could be filling those roles of health inspector and other things and we outsourced so much of that type of work to the companies that do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put dollars to donuts, whatever plant that 8 tons of beef came out of, their health inspector is actually an employee of the beef of that company, of that factory. They're not independent inspectors anymore. We've outsourced the inspection of our food processing systems to the companies that do it. And again, if we fall into that old mindset of greed and dollar above it all, corners are going to get cut. People are going to be told to screw it, send it anyway.
Yeah.
I have a friend that's in the garment industry. And she told me once, she said, I don't care who it is. I don't care what it looks like. You never trust a tag.
Never trust a...
A tag.
A tag, yeah.
If it says small, you try it on. If it says medium, you try it on. Because the clothing manufacturers will knowingly ship cases and cases and cases of clothing mislabeled. Because they got quotas and they got to send 500 million units to Target. They sell 500 million units. And if 100 million of those need to be small, that just means there needs to be 100 million small tags on 100 million shirts. It does not mean the shirt is going to be size small. They just sew in whatever label they got to whatever they need to fill the quotas. And that's just in t-shirts and casual wear, folks. Let's take that to talk about beef and chicken and pork and all the other and the food supply of this country. What would happen if you brought home your pork chops and found out that they were just chicken that was a little old, but you know, fuck, we needed to get it out the door.
Or you could just get on your Peloton and ride it. I mean.
The store, get me some chicken chops.
Yeah, I mean, we're making light here, but I didn't see the jobs numbers yesterday. I think the jobs report came out yesterday to see what those numbers look like. But I know they're talking the Fed is not looking at reducing interest rates maybe till the end of the year. So right. Somebody still feels that there's an inflationary point somewhere that they want to bring it down a little bit. And when are we going to really begin to look holistically at the system? I mean, you know, there's the thing that there's that money is the root of all evil. I think it's materialism, which is, it, by the way, is connected to the money, I guess. but we get too much stuff. If you look at all of the advertisements, they're all about stuff. Very few of them are about health or, you know, well-being or community service or, you know, it's about getting some more stuff. And I wish I could remember that that joke by George Carlin, you know, about stuff. He said you get a bigger house to get more stuff. And he had this whole soliloquy on how much stuff we have and how much stuff we buy. The Peloton that gets 6 months of use and is in the corner, and we don't want to get rid of it because we say, oh yeah, I'm going to get back to it. 5 years later, still there. 10 years later, still there. Well, you may have sold it by then. But it's amazing that we allow ourselves from a business standpoint to create excess that we don't think about. All of that excess has to go somewhere, and most of that stuff go into a landfill somewhere out of our country. I saw I think it was a 60 Minutes program when they were showing how we were dumping all our landfill, all these old t-shirts and jeans and stuff in other countries because we got nowhere to put them. You can't burn them, right? They're going to put in. It's the ripple effect or the connectedness of all things is very clear when we begin to look at some of the breakdowns in our society, and we see, oh, there's a connection point that we've ignored.
Yep. All right, we're going there. Because I've been arguing this for a long time. There's going to be people that might feel like, but recycling in the U.S. has become a scam. And what you're talking about is the evidence of that scam. We don't actually recycle plastic in this country. We don't actually recycle glass in this country. We might, you know, I haven't looked into the cardboard situation in quite a while. We might recycle cardboard, but I gotta bet most of those cereal boxes and other things that people are putting in their curbside recycling trash can end up getting incinerated. We are basically outsourcing our garbage in this country, and we create a lot of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of American landfills are filling up or are full or are in the process of being capped, and we ship countless tons of plastic and electronic waste to what we consider third world countries outside the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Ghana has become an entire country of electronic waste.
Yep.
Also, I can have the newest phone. You know, my phone's up. I can almost, where's my phone? It's almost there. See, here it is. It almost survived its entire contract. I should shut my mouth. I might be jinxing this, but it has survived its entire contract. I'm only a few payments away from not having a cell phone payment. Check with me in 3 months. See if I get a new phone or not. Because we are addicted to the trappings of to the material trappings of success.
Mm-hmm.
Not to what success brings us. You know, I happen to know you're in the mountains this weekend. You and your wife are away for the weekend and have a chance to get out and enjoy nature, and I trust have a nice dinner at a nice restaurant, and I know you, and I know you're there for not to prove to your buddies that you're a success. You're there to enjoy the success you've created in your life, and that has nothing to do with materialism, but we don't seem to get that as a whole. Like you're the outlier here. Most people,
you know, the thing is, and exactly what you said, we are, a guy once told me, this country is all form and no function. And it is trickle down to everybody. We want the trappings. We want to show that we're successful. But, like, are we really? I mean, you look at Peloton. Peloton was the darling during COVID, right?
Well, before that, they made great they made great exercise equipment long before COVID.
But their prominence came.
Darling of the money changers.
It came, you know, and it was and to be on a Peloton or to own a Peloton was a status symbol. Oh, I got a Peloton, right? Yeah. Now, not great machine, great equipment, but was it being used or purchased for the intent of increasing health, or was it an intent of, yeah, that's a secondary thing, but I wanted everybody to know that I got the Peloton. This is, I'm cool. I'm in this status club. I got this, that, or the other. And we have begun to do that, or it's becoming more apparent. It's always been there. The types of cars, the types of clothes, the types of perfume and cologne, the restaurants. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Yeah. And you have to believe that somewhere that this has to run out, right? I mean, you know, you put a light bulb in the lamp, pretty soon at some point the filament is going to burn out.
Yeah.
And at some point this has to run its course, I would hope. And let's get back to more simpler times. And when you said Ghana, that's the program I saw. They had these kids going in, these taking radios, taking out the copper or the, whatever little scraps that they could go and resell. Now they were doing the real recycling, right? Because
right, they were breaking it down to the copper wire to make them. And in Ghana, the copper isn't anywhere near as valuable as it is here. So yeah,
Well, and but you know, in that same sort of vein, in terms of the speaking out against things that are not serving everyone, we look at the protests on the college campuses about the conflict over in Gaza.
Right. Right.
They spread to a ton of campuses. There were several high schools in Chicago. I don't know if anywhere else, but there were definitely several in Chicago high school students who were beginning to protest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the president emphasized that, you know, because now they're getting the clash between those two groups. But if we look at the Constitution, they both have freedom of speech, right?
Right.
So when does freedom of speech require you to call in the police? Now, okay, I could see they took over a building. All right, now you're trespassing. Okay, so now we've stepped across the line. But for people to have the opportunity to state their concerns and issues about what's going on in the world should be allowed without impunity.
Yeah. You know, it's a historical forum for free speech. College campuses are a historical forum for free speech, for dissent, for mm-hmm. questioning authority, as you and I said in the warm-up, thank God we haven't had a repeat of a Kent State type of event.
Mm-hmm.
But we did have police at UCLA shooting rubber bullets at protesters. That's only one step away from, loaded the wrong magazine, Sarge. Sorry about that. I killed four college kids this morning or whatever. Right? We're one step away from a repeat of something like that, which is arguably, I think most people in America consider that one of the greatest stains on our culture during that time, during the Vietnam protests. And here we are, back then we were protesting because we were sending our kids to war. Now we're protesting because other people are sending their kids to war. And I think that's good. I really, really do. And we're not the only ones. There are colleges, the French police supposedly peacefully cleared a college campus that had been occupied by protesters as well, a college building in Paris that had been. And I'm not saying we need to go in and clear out these kids. And even if there are some, quote, professional agitators there, or if there are career protesters there, as some of the media would have us believe, this is part of what it means to grow as a human society. That when we have the right to address the grievances of our government, and where else are we going to do that but in the traditional public forums? City Hall, college campuses, city parks. And
what, you know, you bring up a good point on the college campus piece, because like you said, traditionally college campuses, or school in general, are places of question, inquiry, and debate.
Yeah.
And right now, that's not the protocol anymore, I don't think. It's, we're going to give you what we want you to have. We're going to ban what we don't want you to have, so that you can't ask the questions, or you won't inquire into these things, and we won't have to debate about them and come to some decisions that will allow us to do the right thing, or to help people who are in need, or to stop taking advantage of people who are marginalized. And I mean, we see it coming. They're starting to ban books, and pretty soon they'll start banning movies, and pretty soon, you know, we'll be in a state that's totalitarian, and they will tell us exactly what to do.
The second Red Scare.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking, they're still doing that, you know, the question, the inquiry, and the debate. The first question is, how much money does your daddy have? The inquiry is, how much debt do you have? And the debate is whether or not we can get you to take some of that money and not pay off your debt, but give it to us instead. I don't see these protests happening at small liberal colleges. I see them happening at large institutional organizations. And the reason is because these organizations have had to play the money game, and they're invested heavily in Israeli companies or Israeli technology or other places. Now, you know, Turkey announced yesterday that they were ceasing all trade, all import or export of any Israeli goods and or companies. So Turkey has basically told Israel, until you allow humanitarian aid into Gaza, no more. You ain't selling your stuff here, and you're not allowed to buy our stuff to sell there. No import, no export, no trade whatsoever between Israel and Turkey until Turkey allows
to Israel. Yeah.
Who knows how strong the language is, but until Israel allows for humanitarian aid, all these college kids are doing is asking their colleges for the same thing. Stop doing trade with Israel. Stop trying to make money with or from Israeli partners until they agree to end this war. Until they agree to help the people that have been displaced by their land grab.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the list of colleges, right? You got Yale, you got Columbia, you had UT Austin, you got
Northwestern,
Harvard was doing a little bit of it, Indiana University, Arizona State, UC Long Beach, UCLA. I mean, the list goes on. UNC Chapel Hill. I mean, these are elite educational institute with some very smart people that are there, you know, raising concerns, asking the questions about how are we creating a world that works for all people when we can't even have a conversation about things we see as valid issues that need to be discussed. And, you know, let's hope, because the other part of it is these young people will one day be the governors and senators and perhaps even the president of this country. And we want them to have the sensibilities to take all sides of a issue before they make a decision. Or if they make a decision and they realize it was a bad decision, let's back up out of this decision because it's not serving us. It's not serving the people. And it's making the world a less safe place for us to live. So I'm waiting to see if any other countries over there say that, right? We're not gonna do business, because obviously business is at the heart of some of this. And if we can allow business to lose $1 billion or go $1 billion in debt, we can take some of that billion and try to create some peace.
In some ways, yes. I think you're going to see more of it. Colombia also, this is just being reported as of this morning. Now, back in February, Colombia accused Israel of genocide in the Gaza war. As of a couple hours ago, according to Colombia's Ministry of Commerce, exports to Israel last year, the point is they have broken diplomatic ties with Israel. So that's an even...
The university did?
No, Colombia, the country.
Ah, okay.
South American country. As of this earlier this morning, it's being reported, and I'm trying to find some exact wording to share with you. Here it is. Colombia's foreign ministry said Thursday in a statement that all communications related to this announcement will be made through established official channels. I'm on a site that requires me to log in. I apologize. Anyway, I think your point is well stated, and I think we're making that is becoming true. I think you're going to see more and more companies or more and more countries start to say we can't be associated with this. So, which is that not just justification for these college kids? That if the country of Colombia is saying no more, if the country of Turkey is saying no more, what's wrong with our kids standing up and saying no more as well?
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to begin to have some sensibility about the human life. Like we can't go back into the factory, so to speak, and just make a whole bunch of women and children again. And that's regardless of whether they're Palestinian women and children, Israeli women and children, African women and children. Doesn't matter where they are. It just happens to be in Gaza right now. You know, it was the last 3 or 4 years, it was Ukraine. And so when you think about the sensibility for someone to say, I mean, just think about someone would send a bomb in the middle of Chicago or in the middle of, you know, Gary, Indiana, or, you know, Denver, Colorado, without any thought. Because that's what's happening in these places. People live there. People have a life there.
And are just trying to get to work and feed their families.
You know, you think about the cities in Ukraine and in Gaza that have been destroyed. Now, at some point, this will stop. And now it's going to be a big opportunity for people to come in and rebuild. that's going to be an interesting scenario.
Capitalism. That's as my oldest would say. Oh, joy, more capitalism.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting situation because it's going to be a big money grab, you know, because everything will have to be done. Infrastructure, plumbing, electricity, roads, you know, yeah, airstrips for airports. Then you got to build the buildings and you got to figure out. I'm sure some of the ports are messed up. So you got to clean your ports up. You got for import and export of goods. I don't know if they have any agriculture in that region, but whatever agriculture has to be redone. I mean, it's
so the old saying that war is good for the economy. How do we, and I know, folks, it's that time. We do not have time to answer this question today, but I want everybody to start to contemplate this. How do we make peace good for the economy? How do we make
peace? I mean, I just did a quick search, and I can't verify this 100%, but they're looking at the import and exports in Israel. In February 2024, export goods totaled $17.9 billion. Import goods totaled $28.2 billion.
Got to be a way to make. Where's our ChatGPT? ChatGPT, how do you make peace? Again? I want to ask ChatGPT, how do you make peace good for the economy? How do we make peacetime good for the economy? Because if we can make, I have to believe, if we can make that much money by waging war, just imagine how much we can make by waging peace. Just imagine the productivity of a country full of people that isn't looking over its shoulder for when the next bomb is going to fall, when the next rocket is going to land, or when the next person's going to shoot up a grade school. Imagine the productivity of a group of people, a planet of people living in peace rather than the constant threat.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just think we sent what? Well, I don't know if all of it was. We did the big bill and $95 billion bill and a bunch of that. And I don't know if it was $95 billion went to, pretty sure it wasn't, that went to Israel, but we sent them a few billions for military stuff on that bill that just got passed.
And then they sell it to Colombia. Colombia does we're talking about they're cutting ties with Israel. Part of what they're cutting is they're cutting their arms dealer. They're telling, because Israel has been Colombia's arms dealer for a while now. We sell it to Israel, and Israel sells it to
Colombia. We have some work to do, put it that way.
Yeah. All right, folks. It's a Friday morning. We've been talking shit for a while now this morning. And, you know, as is often the case, we don't pretend that we're going to be able to solve any of the concerns or the conflicts or the questions or the stuff that's going on in the world. But we do believe that we can't hide behind a wing and a prayer. We can't hide behind our ignorance. We can't hide behind the misinformation. We've got to do the work to take a deeper look at these issues. Today, we're going to go for just another second. I saw one, people attacking these students because they all have the same tents and using that as proof that this must be an organized infiltration of professional protesters and stuff. And I thought to myself, no, they're college kids at probably the cheapest tent they could find at Walmart. And turns out, yeah, they were bought in bulk and they were the cheapest tent available. to make their point. It's not a conspiracy of terrorists to overthrow the government. It's a group of students saying we want to live in a more peaceful world. We want to live in a more just world. We want to live in a world where the military machine of war is not the main economic driver of our planet. So we need a new economic driver, and I'm going to suggest that that start being peace. And I don't know how we're going to do it, but I know that if we talk about it and we bring up the subject, there is somebody that does know how to do this, and that gives more people more power to start doing the things that are going to be necessary. No sound, no sound, no sound.
Yeah, so I, you know, as we move into the weekend and we continue, as always, to contemplate these questions, these inquiries, and these decisions and debates that face us, let's do it with some authenticity. Let's do it with a sense of asking questions that will require us to do different, or in some cases do better, and create a world that works for everyone.
Yes. Apologies for the technical difficulties there, folks. You'll have to tune in another time to hear that last rant that I just went on. So Z, thanks for being here this morning. Always good to be with you, my brother. Please do give your lovely wife my best as you enjoy the mountains and some time away over the weekend. And you'll be back. We'll be back next Tuesday with New Thought Today at our normal time. So I'll look forward to seeing you again then. You still not hearing me? Did it still go out? All right, folks. It's obvious. We're done. We're going to wrap this up for the week. I love you. You are amazing. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Peace and blessings.
And thanks for listening to this week's episode of Ministers Talking. We'll be back again next week with more commentary on current affairs, world events, and any other our ministers want to talk about. And if you found value here, please share our with your friends. Until next time, peace and blessings.